We saw that the Hebrew writer compared the Christianity to a race. And we're running this long, distant race. And there were three points that I had in that lesson last week. The first point was intentionality, that we need to run with intention. We need to run on purpose. We're not just running to run. We're running to lay hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of us. And then we saw that we need to train, and so we need to lighten the load. We need to get rid of every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us. This is part of training. It's learning to get rid of that and to run with endurance. And then the last point that I made last week was focus. Then we need to focus on Jesus. That's important. Notice verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so notice this theme of suffering and hardship. And he says to us in verse 3, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. And so, and then he says in verse 5 that you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. And then he quotes from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. But this is important because the topic and the idea that runs through verse 4 through verse 11 is that of the Father's discipline, that God disciplines His children. Now, I'm using the New King James. If you have the New King James or you have the King James, you're going to have the terms chastening and chasten. But if you have the New International Version or the ESV or the New American Standard, most translations use the word discipline, not chasten. Mine uses chasten. Seven times that term it shows up in these verses. That says that this is important, and this is the idea of the text. It is the Father's discipline. So how are we to interpret struggles? How are we to interpret hardship? And all over the Bible, we read about suffering and difficulties. The book of Job is all about suffering and hardship. First Peter, many of the Psalms, James chapter 1, Romans chapter 5. There are many, many chapters and books in the Bible that emphasize suffering and hardship and difficulty in life. And notice that he says here in verse 5 and 6, quoting from Proverbs 3, 11 and 12, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. So how are we to interpret suffering, hardship, difficulty? The Hebrew writer says we need to interpret that as the loving discipline of God, because that's what that is. It's God disciplining his people. And so, what can we expect as we think, as we zero in on God's discipline? What can we expect? What is His discipline like? Number one, His discipline is loving. It is loving. And that's what He says in verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and He scourges every son whom He receives. So this is the loving discipline of God. So those hardships, the suffering, the difficulties, the persecution that you go through in life, that is the loving discipline of God. That's what the Hebrew writer is telling us here. This is not God's anger. This is not God's retribution for sin in your life. It is His loving discipline. In fact, the Hebrew writer says in verse 8, but if you are without chastening of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. So in other words, he says, if you are not experiencing hardships, difficulties, persecution, then you don't belong to the Father. You're illegitimate. Because if you belong to God, you will be chastened. You will be disciplined. That's what the Hebrew writer is encouraging us to understand here. That because God is a loving Father, in love, He disciplines His children. He doesn't do it in anger. He does it because He wants the best in His children. And He knows that discipline is vital. Every parent understands the value of discipline. Whenever a kid begins to stray or begin to do things that are inappropriate, discipline is necessary to correct that which is wrong in their life. And so God, because He's a loving Father, He is going to discipline His children. And so you can expect it. And when it happens, it's God's love. And so some of you might think, wow, God really loves me, right? Because maybe life is really hard right now for you. And so, you know, we're either about to be disciplined, or we're being disciplined, or we're coming out of discipline. So those are the three phases of your life. And when you come out, you're going to go back in at another point in time, because God is a loving Father, and He's going to correct His children. But that's the second point that I want to emphasize here, is that God's discipline is corrective. It's the reason for it. Look at verse 9. Verse 9, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? So we've had human fathers, right? And they have corrected us. And that straightened out our behavior, or at least it was an attempt to straighten out a child's behavior. Maybe some children are hard-headed. Sometimes it takes more than, you know, simply one spanking to get a child in line. But the purpose of discipline is to correct. When you notice that the behavior of a child is not appropriate, then you whip them, you chasten them, you discipline them for the purpose of correcting their behavior. And each time God corrects us, our behavior becomes more and more like Him. And so, in other words, we are conformed more and more to the image and likeness of God. That's His goal. That's His strategy. We'll see as we end up here. But so God disciplines us. He knocks out of us behaviors that are inappropriate and wrong. That's the reason for His discipline. Michelangelo was asked one time, how is it that he could take a block of stone and turn it into an angel? He said, I just see an angel in that stone, and I just keep carving and carving and carving until I set that angel free. And so that's the whole idea of chiseling, right, and sculpting, and that's what God is doing. Through discipline, through His loving, corrective discipline, God is sculpting our life. And our life is becoming more and more like God, because that's the purpose of correction. But also, His discipline is painful. It is painful. Notice verse 11. Verse 11 says, now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. And so discipline is painful, right? We all acknowledge that. No one likes discipline. But discipline is essential. It's important. And here's the thing about pain. Pain is able to cut through everything that's going on in your life and smack you in the face. That's what pain can do. Pain can get your attention when nothing else can get your attention. God knows how to get the attention of His people. He knows that pain is a way that He can get our attention. When we experience pain, we automatically, God, what's going on? God, I need help. Right? Immediately we go to God because we're experiencing His discipline. It's painful. It's painful. But it's absolutely essential. And the last characteristic that I want you to see is that it's fruitful. It is fruitful. Notice verse 10 and verse 11. In verse 10 he says, "For they indeed for a few days, our earthly fathers, chastened us as seemed best to them, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness." Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. Notice that in verse 10, he points out that the purpose of this discipline is so that we would be partakers of His holiness. And so we are becoming more and more like Him. This is the goal. I wrote a book some time back, and in this book it shows seven ways that God transforms our lives and causes us to become conformed to the image of Jesus. And one of those is pain. And I have a chapter titled, No Pain, No Gain. But in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 29 and 30, 29 and 30, he says, let me back up here, verse 29, he says, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." And so what is God doing in our lives? He is sculpting, shaping, molding our lives to conform it to the image and likeness of Jesus. That's what God is doing. And discipline is one of the things that is necessary to accomplish that. Notice in verse 11. In verse 11, where he talks about afterwards, that says after the discipline, what does it yield? The peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's the end result. That's what God gets out of it. Let's look at a couple of texts. One is in James. James. So just turn over a page or two and you'll be at the book of James. And notice verses 2 and 3. This is the context of suffering, of hardship in life. And notice what he says. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith," here it is, "produces patience." And so this testing, this trial that we go through, it creates in us patience. It creates in us endurance. And then he says, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire." And so notice, testing creates patience. And then if we allow patience to do its work in our life, then we will become perfect and complete. Romans chapter 5 is another text. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Notice the Apostle Paul says, "And not only that, but also we glory in tribulations, knowing that," here it is, "tribulation produces perseverance." We just saw that in James, right? Tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. And all of this is coming out of suffering. If it were not for your difficulties, your hardship, your suffering, you wouldn't grow. You wouldn't mature. You wouldn't become the child of God that God wants you to become. You need the discipline of God. God, as a loving father, knows how to discipline his children and get the best results out of it. And I want to turn your attention real quick to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Now, the book of Peter talks a lot about suffering, talks a lot about difficulties in life, and how God uses them to mold and shape our lives. And so he says in verse 10, and this really is a summary statement for the book. You want to know what this book is about? Here it is. He sums it up in this one verse. Listen. But may the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And so God uses these hardships to grow us, to conform our lives, that it will be conformed to the image and likeness of the Son of God. That's what God is doing. And so God is a loving Father. He disciplines His children. So as when life gets hard and we're wondering, what is going on? Hopefully you'll think about what the Hebrew writer says, that this is God as a father disciplining his children. And his discipline is loving. It is corrective. It is painful. But it's fruitful. It's fruitful. And so God shapes your life so that you bear the image of Jesus. That's God's goal for every believer. And that's the reason my book that I titled Destined for Glory, because that's your future in Jesus Christ. The likeness of Jesus. That's where all of us are headed. And that's what Christian growth is all about. It's all about becoming like Jesus. And so today, if you're struggling and life is hard, you just need to know that God isn't angry. He isn't mad at you. God loves you. And God is working in your life because He wants you to bear fruit. And so He knows that discipline is necessary. And so you're going to be spanked, just as your earthly parents spanked you to correct your behavior. Your heavenly Father will also spank you to correct your behavior so that you bear the image of the Son of God. And for those of you who've never responded to the cross of Jesus, you've never come to Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, I would encourage you to do this. The Bible says that in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Listen, we can ignore God all through life. We can take Him off our money if we want to. We can extract His name from all the textbook in school if we choose to. You can ignore God in your life, but you can't ignore God in your death. You will face Him. And if you have not been cleansed of your sins by the blood of Jesus Christ, you will be condemned forever. The Bible is clear. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. And so this morning, if you need to respond to the good news of Jesus, we encourage you to do that as we sing.